ശ്രവണ വർത്തമാനം ദേവം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം ചിത്തോജയം ഉജ്ജ്വലയത് നാസ്താപാനേഷു അഭദ്രേഷു നിത്യം ഭഗവത് സേവ ഭഗവതീത്തമ ശ്ലോകേ ഭക്തി നൈഷ്ടികീ. Let's say this together. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So we're reading today 9th canto, chapter 11, text number 20.
Nidam nisa ragupate sura yachchanatta.
Thank you.
Nidam nisa ragupate sura yachchanatta. Lila tanu akhika ak. Adhika samya vimukta dhamma. Lila tanu adhika samya vimukta dhamma. Raksha vado jaladhi bandhanam astra pundai. Raksha vado jaladhi bandhanam astra pundai. Kintasya shatru hamane kapaya sahaya. Kintasya shatru hamane kapaya sahaya. Nidam yasa ragupate sura yachchanatta. Lila tanu adhika samya vimukta dhamma. Raksha vado jaladhi bandhanam astra pungai. Kintasya shatru hamane kapaya sahaya.
Please chant.
Nidam yasho ragupate sura yachchanatta.
Lila tanu ragupate samya vimukta dhamma. Raksho vado jaladhi bandhanam astra pungai.
Raksho vado jaladhi bandhanam astra pungai.
Kintasya shatru hamane kapaya sahaya.
Kintasya shatru hamane kapaya sahaya. Nidam yasho ragupate sura yachchanatta.
Lila
tanu adhika samya vimukta dhamma.
Raksha vado jaladhi bandhanam astra pungai.
Vaishnavis,
Nigam yashoda 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 yashoda
yashoda
yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda yashoda Shukashe shashu hamane katakata na
na
idam all these yashaha fame Ramapate and Lord Ramachandra Suryachanya by the prayers of the demigods Atali Latana whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Akila Samyani Mukta Dhamma. No one is greater than or equal to him. Rakshalanda. Killing the Rakshasas, Ravana. Jalahi Bandhanam. Bridging the ocean. Astrapulai. With bows and arrows. Kim. Weather. Tasya. His. Shatru Haname. In killing the enemies. Papaya. The monkeys. Sahaya. Assistance. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. Interesting, very interesting and thoughtful verse by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. One more time. Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. Om Adinati Milandasya, Janandana Salakaya Chaksu Umiritam Janinas, Sajna Shri Gurving, and when I was born in the darkness of ignorance, Shri Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore I am indebted to him and beg for service life after life. So I'll read this purport and then I'll explain the context of how we're here and why we're here. Why Sukadeva Goswami is saying that. As stated in the Vedas, state Dasvatara Upanishad 6.8, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chadivyate, Natat Samaschadya Vikas Chadushkate, Parashya Shakta Vivihayashuyate, Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha. The Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. The Lord has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam chavidyate. Whatever he does is his pastime. The Lord has no duty to perform to oblige anyone. Nonetheless, he appears to act to protect his devotees or kill his enemies. Of course, no one can be the Lord's enemy, since who could be more powerful than the Lord? There is actually no question of anyone being his enemy. But when the Lord wants to take pleasure in pastimes, he comes down to this material world and acts like a human being. thus showing his wonderful, glorious activities to please his devotees. His devotees always want to see the Lord victorious in varied activities, and therefore, to please himself and them, the Lord sometimes agrees to act as a human being and perform wonderful, uncommon pastimes for the satisfaction of the devotees. So here, this is chapter 11. The previous chapter 10 also described the advent of Lord Rama, and his and Sukadeva Goswami summarized the whole Ramayana in that one chapter. All the activities of the Ramayana. The Ramayana has 25,000 verses and 500 sections. And Sukadeva Goswami, in his expertise, summarized all of that and got all the major events. You can see all the major events were there summarizing that in the previous chapter, chapter 10. And the reason that he did it like that was because of the great length of the Ramayana and because of the popularity of the Ramayana. Even in that day, he said, Sukadeva Goswami said, in the beginning of the previous chapter, he said to Maharaj Bhikkhu, you've heard this story of Ram many times. You've heard it many times. He hadn't seen the videos yet, though. But he saw and he heard many times and many plays, and everybody around, all the cultured people, were very familiar with the Ramayana. And because of this length, so 25,000 verses, Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses. So he had seven days for Maharaj Pariksit to speak those verses in the Bhagavatam. So it was already, we're in the ninth canto, so he's already passed quite a few days. There's just a few days left. A long explanation of the Ramayana would have taken more than 7 days, you know? So he didn't have that time. So it gives him a very brief summary. Emphasizing the major points, and then now he's bringing it to the conclusion. These activities of Lord Ram that we're so familiar with, and we're all praying today that we get hit by one of those rocks that the monkeys are holding with Lord Ram's name on it, and hits us right in the heart so that we can develop our love for the Lord. So all of those activities aren't the real glories of Lord Ram. So what is his glory then? He's going to explain it in a couple more verses. I'll just read the verses and then we'll talk about it. So, text 21, I'm just going to read the translation. Lord Ramachandra's spotless name and fame, which vanquish all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions like ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant that conquers all directions. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Similarly, all saintly kings and demigods, including Lord Shiva and Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down with their helmets. Let me offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. And continuing on 22, Lord Ramachandra returned to his abode, to which the bhakti yogis are promoted. This place to which all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went after they served the Lord in his manifest pastimes by offering him obeisances, touching his lotus feet, fully observing him as a father-like king, sitting or lying down with him like equals, or even just accompanying him. So they went to that place, the Supreme Lord. And text 23 gives the answer here. O King Parikshit, anyone who early receives the narrations concerning the characteristic of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. So back to the point of these verses, what is Lord Ramachandra's glory then? Lord Ramachandra's glory is that he took this form, this human-like form, and enacted human-like pastimes. Why? To pull our emotions, to pull our emotions towards the Lord, and thereby our attachment, because of that. And is there anyone here who can hear the Ramayana and not cry at different points? And that, you know, the emotions are so strong in the Ramayana, right from the beginning, all of the stories, and they're so emotionally interactive. And according to Bharat Muni and his, whatever that Shastra is that he talks about, drama Shastra. Could be. Thanks. Natas Shastra or something. An actor on the stage is meant to be so good that we identify with the characters on the stage so that we can feel the emotions that they're feeling. Now, the difference between an actor and Lord Ram is that Lord Ram, yes, he's enacting those pastimes, but he's fully absorbed as that personality. And after on the stage, they might practice for quite some time to get the mood of the actor and this and that. But they have their life, and they're thinking, you know, what's for dinner tonight, or, you know, after practice, I have to go change the oil in the car, or some, you know, silly thing. You know? They're getting a little something, but they're not absorbed. But Lord Ramachandra, he's totally absorbed in those pastimes. To bring about our attachment to him, you know, that he's experiencing miseries and shoka, lamentation, the loss of Sita. And so we can relate to those things as we've all experienced different obstacles in our lives. We can imagine, and he pulls that emotion. As Krishna, he never likes to do anything half-heartedly. If you notice, especially emotionally, never it's half-hearted. It's like pulls one to the highest degree. It explains that he puts his, in Krishna Lila, Krishna tests his devotees to the highest degree. It's like, I mean, the comparison is given to like purifying gold. Gold's already very pure, but it has some little impurities in it. So in order to remove the impurities, it's heated. So the devotee's relationships with the Lord are heated to the highest extent of emotional stress, whatever, you know, so that it's totally absorbing. So we can remember 8th chapter, 1st canto, Queen Kunti's prayers. She lists this distress, that happened, and he was poisoned, and then the house was burned, and this and that, and now you just saved us from the Brahmastra by Aswatthama. And then she says, let those calamities happen again and again. Why? Because when life is so intense like that, it's easy for the trained mind, the devotional mind, it's easier to think of Krishna and those intense sufferings. And that's the goal, thinking of Krishna, praying to Krishna with love, and depending on Krishna with 100% attention and attachment. That's the goal. So Lord Ramachandra's pastimes evoke that intensity of emotions to attract the conditioned souls to his pastimes and his activities and his loving service. Srila Bhagavatam also starts off with the first chapter, the 6 questions of the sages at Naimisharanya. So one of the questions is, what's the purpose of Krishna's appearance? Purusha avatars, what's the activities of the activities of creation, the Lord's activities in creation? So he wants to know about the Purusha avatars. He wants to know about the Lila avatars. What are the different avatars of the Lord in his different pastimes? So here, this is why this story of Ramachandra is included in the Bhagavatam, because it's all related to that first chapter, which is setting the basis for the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And interestingly enough, the acharyas explain that the mood that Lord Ramachandra tries to bring out in all and exhibit is karuna ras, compassion. It takes a little thought to figure out that. So karuna ras is compassion. Now in English, compassion, we think of compassion, oh yeah, I have compassion, or we should have compassion for the poor, suffering, distressed people of the world. It's not that type of pity. It's not pity. But in Sanskrit, the word karuna, it's divided. Tar means activity. It's an active participation, an active feeling to try to, I have to check this one, hold on, to, an active willingness to bear the pain of others. An active willingness to bear the pain of others. It's action-based rather than pity-based. It's not pity or sadness or condescending feelings. It's action-based. So to bear the, so in order to alleviate the suffering of Sita, who is kidnapped by Ravana, Lord Ram's willing to, you know, go to the end of the earth to find her. Go to the end of the earth to kill Ravana and wipe out his whole dynasty and everything. And at the same time, he's also purifying Ravana and everything. It's amazing all how they're all connected. But that Karunaras by compassionate nature of Lord Ram is meant to pull our hearts and attention and emotions towards him. Because unless our devotion is seeped with emotion, then it's just practice. It's not purified. It's not totally there, not totally cooked yet. We're not totally cooked yet. We're still raw around the edges. We're practicing because we have to, because we know it's good, because we know, you know, we are attracted to the goal, but we're not there yet. But when the emotions start to manifest, when there's real emotional attachment to things, then the mind goes there very easily. We think that we're rational beings, but actually our rationality is based on our emotions. We act rationally based on what our emotions are pushing us to do. That's a whole other thing. Okay, so, so the whole setup of how the Ramayana was spoken also evokes emotion too. As we're familiar with Valmiki being the author or compiler of the Ramayana, Valmiki Muni, his story is so interesting also. So, didn't start off as Valmiki Muni, but he started off as a contaminated, conditioned soul who, upon meeting Narada, he was like a murderer and dacoit, etc., etc. Somehow or other, in contact with Narada, Narada blessed him with a mantra, the Mara mantra. Just since you can't take a convicted criminal, a convicted murderer, serial killer, and tell him to sit down and meditate on the Lord and how much the Lord loves him. It's kind of like too much of a jump from one thing. So it's okay, sit down and meditate on the word Mara, on death. And so by constantly chanting Mara, that constant repetition, Rama, 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 then he became very, very exalted, very, very pure, to the state where he was an exalted, respected, purified Muni, who one day, while walking with his disciples on the perfect spring day, the flowers are blooming, the temperature's just right, the air is full of aromatic flowers, you know, it's a beautiful scene on the lake, the birds are chirping, etc., etc. He's out with his disciples early in the morning, they've just probably finished their puja for the morning puja. And all of a sudden, an arrow whizzes by him, from behind him, an arrow passes him and hits one of the birds. There's a pair of croucha birds that are mating. And if you're familiar, probably have observed, even these little what's the birds that we have around here? That sing all the different tunes? I don't know if you're getting their name. No, we don't have cuckoos, but some of us are cuckoo. If you notice birds, oftentimes before they make their really fancy, jumpy ritual or whatever, and sometimes peck at each other, and sometimes do whatever. So these concha birds were engaged. Concha bird is like a heron. It's described like a tall, legged bird by the water. So they were engaged in their mating dance, and the hunter who was behind the Muni, behind Valmiki Muni, Valmiki Muni hadn't noticed him as he was walking to this point. He shot one of the birds when they were doing their mating dance. And then that reaction of the, I believe he shot the male, right? Okay, so the reaction of the female bird was so piteous. The male bird immediately died being shot by the hunter. And the female bird just started crying and lamenting and falling in the water. And, you know, it was a huge scene. And so Valmiki Muni is seeing this. And his reaction to seeing that cruel scene just flew on a verse, just flew out of his mouth, which was, hold on a second, okay. Ma nishada patista tram adama shasvati sama yat krancha mutumad ekam avadhi kama mojitam. That just came out of his mouth, no thought, no previous scene. His reaction, he cursed the hunter. Ma nishada, oh nishada, hunter, that's a hunter. May you never attain any stable peace for the long years of eternity. For you killed one of the two Krancha birds that were overcome with the desire to mate. Heavy. It was so heavy that it even surprised Valmiki Muni that, why did I react like that? That's so heavy. I just cursed him for eternity. Never find peace for eternity. And so, Valmiki's reaction to that, he was depressed. He got a little, he was very critical of himself. Why did I fall victim to such strong emotion? Why did I curse him like that, so heavily, so severely? I'm supposed to be equipoise. You know, that's what I'm studying in the Bhagavad Gita, how to be equipoised in all circumstances. And yet this emotion just overcame me. And he was feeling quite disheartened. But everything happens by the plan of the Lord. Nothing goes in vain. So Lord Brahma came to encourage him. Lord Brahma came to encourage him and said, don't lament for this. What you have just spoken is going to give birth to a tremendous pastime of activities. And so Lord Brahma, he benedicted him that he would be able to speak the glorious pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, and he would understand all the emotions of all the players, of all the personalities in the Ramayana, whether it's been recorded or not, or he would understand everything without having to go anywhere. He would have it all on his hard drive. He wouldn't have to go here and there and investigate what happened. It would all be revealed to him. So then Lord Brahma also said, and you should recite it, this Ramayana, in this very same meter of the curse. And somehow or other, beyond my capacity to understand how, it is said that this was the first Sanskrit verse spoken in this, what's the name of that meter? Ashup? The meter that Bhagavad Gita is spoken in?
Ashtup
meter. So Lord Brahma, and as we've heard on many occasions, depending on how the words are divided in the Sanskrit, you can get one meaning this way, and if you change this to that, you can get another meaning. This is what Lord Brahma heard from what I translated before. This is what Lord Brahma heard. O Ma Nishada. Ma means Lakshmi. O Ma Nishada, Lakshmi's shelter. So this is what Brahma heard. O Lakshmi's shelter, that's Ram, may you attain stable prestige for the long years of eternity, For you killed one of the two Croncha demons. And similarly, it has some relation. Croncha had some relation to Ravana's family name. So you killed one of the two Cronchas, meaning you killed Ravana, and Mandadari stayed alive, who was overcome with lust. Amazing, huh? May you attain stable prestige for the long years of eternity, for you killed one of the two Croncha demons named Ravana, who was overcome with lust. So Lord Brahma was instructing Valmiki Muni that he should continue to recite this Ramayana in that very meter. So and so his disciples immediately memorized that little verse and to get the meter down, and they were all, I guess, some way or another assisting in his recitation of the Ramayana. So if we can compare the writing of the Ramayana to the writing of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many similarities there. Because even Srimad Bhagavatam, if you remember seventh, eighth chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, talks about how Vyasadeva was also despondent before he wrote the Bhagavatam. He was despondent thinking that, not feeling satisfied, that he hadn't, something was missing, so he was asking Narada to please reveal to me what my misconception is, what my fault is, because I'm not feeling satisfied after having compiled, you know, Mahabharata and the Puranas and all the Vedic literatures. And Narada gets right to the point. It's because you haven't glorified the Lord particularly and devotional service specifically sufficiently, then you're feeling despondent. So that's how Bhagavatam started. Ramayana, Valmiki's despondent, why did I give, give into the weakness of cursing this hunter? Why did I say such harsh words? And Lord Brahma comes and says, no, use that to glorify Lord Ram. Use that meter to glorify Lord Ram, and everything will be wonderful for you and for all those who hear the Ramayana for eternity. So that's and also, what was the purpose of the Bhagavatam? It was to glorify and to point out the glories of devotional service, same with the purpose of the Ramayana, to point out and glorify the devotional service to Lord Ram and how Lord Ram reciprocates with all sorts of varieties of people who approach him for varieties of reasons. And similarly, in Vyasadeva's compiling of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva also, he had seen Krishna, he saw Krishna, and similarly Valmiki, when Lord Ram was in the Dandakaranya forest, he also visited Valmiki's ashram at different times. So they had that similar background. And so Vyasadeva was blessed by Narada that if you recite this Bhagavatam focusing in on devotional service to the Lord, then you'll receive the mercy of the Lord, and others who hear that Bhagavatam will receive the mercy. And similarly, that's what Brahma was saying to Valmiki Muni. You, Valmiki, recite the glories of the Ramayana, and that way everyone who hears any little bit with a little bit of devotion in their heart will be blessed. So the verse in the Bhagavatam that says sprouts up at once, this devotional service sprouts up at once, and anyone who attentively hears this message of the Bhagavatam, it's one of the first verses, I got it here somewhere, devotional service will sprout up at once by attentively and submissively hearing the Bhagavatam. Okay, here, I should know this verse. Yeah, it's the second verse in the Bible time.
Dharma prajita kaita vocha paramon yamatsaranam satam vajyam bhaskanam accha vakti shivadam tapa chayolu nulamam shunad bhagavate mahamunikate kimba para ishvara ha sajo vidyava ujite prakritime shushu shubish takshana.
Okay.
Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This is Bhagavad Purana. Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. The beautiful Bhagavatam compiled by the great sage Vyasa in his maturity is sufficient in itself for God realization, and there's no need for anything else. As soon as one submissively and attentively hears the message of the Bhagavatam by this culture of knowledge, the Lord is established in the heart. So that's the point of these sacred scriptures. By repeatedly hearing them and the Lord's activities, whether it's Krishna's activities or Ram's activities also, that we become attached and purified by engaging in the Lord's service, and the heart becomes free from envy, which is what the whole root cause of our existence. And in the Ramayana too, that little seed of envy that was there in different people's heart is what was, like for example, Mantua, the hunchback servant of Kaikeyi, when she heard through the servant girl, she wasn't informed officially that the next day was going to be Lord Ramachandra's coronation. She just heard by, passing, you could say, that the next day Lord Ramachandra was going to be coronated king. When she heard that, because she had envy in her heart for the position of Lord Ram, she stopped that envy to sprout in the heart of Kaikeyi. Because when Mantua first approached Kaikeyi to tell her the bad news of Lord Ramachandra's coronation, if you remember Kaikeyi's reaction, she was totally happy. She loved Lord Ram even more than her son, her own son, Bharat, it's described. And so she was actually very happy to hear that Lord Ram was going to be crowned king. But Mantua, and that's actually, according to the Sanskrit, Mantua means one who fans the bad qualities, one who increases bad qualities. So she, understanding that there would be, there's a pinch of envy in Kaikeyi's heart as her position as the youngest queen, and she has two senior queens who should be more prestigious in their position, but she was the favorite of Dasaran. She could understand Mantua could understand that Kaikeyi had envy in her heart for the position of the other two queens, and she found that by saying, if Ram becomes king, your position, you'll have to be servant of thank you, Kaushalya. You have to be servant. You have to be her servant. And that was too much for her ego to process. But ego means envy. It means that we're one. And what is the position of the ego? It means I'm the best. I mean, other people are nice, but not quite as good as me. And other people might have good qualities, but I have, that's envy. And why are we here? Because we envied the qualities in the Lord, and we thought we were better, or we could be better, or we could do it without him, or whatever, however. So that envy's in the heart there, and it has to be purified. And these are the means, that's the point, one of the points I'm trying to make. These means of hearing the Lord's pastimes and how he interacts with his devotees, these are the means to purify us of that envy that's in our heart, that's sitting there.
and they could sprout up at any time, causing havoc. So this pastime of Lord Ramachandra is very endearing and very detailed and very long. And so Sukadev, he summarizes it very quickly because, as I previously was saying, because he had a time frame and he was concerned that he wouldn't be able to give the full message to Parikshit about, because he's obviously Ramachandra, he's just about to get into the glorious pastimes and all attractive pastimes of Krishna. So he had to summarize it in a very succinct way. So, but what he's saying is, what the glory of Lord Ram is that his pastimes invoke attachment to him. They're so emotionally electrifying, you know, the grief of that, the different personalities experience. Just this morning when we were reading the summary to this chapter, we had to talk about, just for one half of a sentence, that when Sita was banished, while she was pregnant, she was banished from the kingdom again by Lord Ram. And who can do those things without feeling some emotional pull in the heart? What she had to go through, you know, pregnant with twins and dropped off in the forest before while the twins were still within her womb. And she, and you know, how that... Oh, that reminded me of another point. Thank you, Krishna. In Valmiki's Ramayana, he does not stress at all that when Sita was kidnapped, when Sita crossed the line, the Lakshman Rekha, that Lakshman had put to protect her, when Sita crossed the line, who Ravana actually ended up kidnapping was false Sita, an imitation Sita, and the real Sita was taken by Agni and was an Agni Loka. Valmiki doesn't stress that at all because he doesn't want people to think, oh, it wasn't real that she went through. It wasn't the real Sita. The real Sita was an Agni Loka doing whatever she's doing. But no, he wants us to be fully immersed in that emotional exchange and what she was going through. It said in the Agni Purana, not that I've read it, but I've heard someone who read it, say that Sita and Agni Loka also didn't eat or sleep the whole 14 years, the real Sita. She was just chanting, and Lord Ram, in the forest, he wasn't thinking, oh, this isn't the real Sita that was kidnapped. My real Sita is safe. And he's thinking, this is my Sita. She's been kidnapped. And he's just chanting, Sita, Sita, ha, Sita, the whole time. And then if you look at all the different, not look at all, I'm just going to highlight Lakshman's position. Lakshman, like, what did Lakshman go through? There Lakshman was in Dasarath's capital, his capital, and he was with his wife Urmila, and everything was going fine. Ram gets banished, and Lakshman immediately is ready to give up everything and leave and go with him. And what does Urmila do? Urmila, Lakshman's wife. Anyway, says that some person says that she went to sleep for 14 years. But there's probably different varieties of what she did. But anyway, Lakshman, he didn't eat or sleep for 14 years. Because during the day, he was busy guarding Sita, he was busy clearing the path and serving Sita Ram, and during the night, he was busy guarding them. Every single night, he didn't sleep or eat. And if you remember, because it comes to me, like, how can he do that? I mean, one day he fasts and they're like wiped out. What to speak of if we fast and don't sleep for 2 or 3 days? We get dysfunctional very quickly. So, Vasistha Muni was the one who came to Dasarath and asked for his sons. So, Vishwamitra Muni. So Vishwamitra Muni, remember when he took Ram and Lakshman on the very first couple of days that he took them? He gave them 2 mantras, Bala and Ati Bala. Bala and Ati Bala. And I didn't know that till I was studying for this class. So Bala and Ati Bala mantras. One was that you could go without eating, and one was that you could go without sleeping. So Lakshman learned that from Ram. He taught Ram, and Ram taught Lakshman. So with the strength of the Bala and Ati Bala mantras, Lakshman could withstand or endure. He could endure 14 years of not eating and not sleeping in order to serve Ram. So what he sacrificed to serve Ram, that's tremendous. What Bharat sacrificed to serve Ram. Bharat wouldn't look at his mother during the whole time, the 14 years. He wouldn't look at his mother. In fact, when she told him, when he finally comprehended what was going on, he disowned himself from her. And he said, from now on, I'm not even going to call you mother. I'll just address you as Queen Kalkini. So, and then Bharat's, Bharat, feeling obliged and also sensitive to what Lord Ram was going through, Bharat wouldn't sleep on the bed. He slept on the floor for 14 years. He wouldn't, and knowing that Ram was in the forest eating fruits and roots, he wouldn't eat any cooked food. He just ate barley that was soaked in the urine of a cow for 14 years. That was his sense of duty was so strong to Lord Ram that he was willing to undergo those austerities out of compassion, Karuna, Ras, for what Lord Ram was going through. Lakshman, out of compassion for serving the Sita Ram, he didn't eat or sleep. Lakshman, Bharat did that. And you think what Hanuman went through to serve Lord Ram. What Sita went through, just meditating on Lord Ram. All of the characters in the Ramayana, we have heightened compassion for what others are undergoing, and at the same time, a very strong sense of their own personal duty to do that, continue on. I don't want to have anything to do with this kingdom, Bharat said. I'm not the king. But out of a sense of duty, he performed his duty from a distance and performed so many austerities. Similar, all of those characters. So that's another message of the Ramayana. We can only be happy by doing our quote-unquote prescribed duty. Sometimes, for those of us in Western bodies and growing up in the Western non-cultured culture, prescribed duties, prescribed duties. But it's, wifely duty to the husbandly duty to the family, this duty, that duty. We have them there. We just don't recognize them so much as prescribed duties. But they're there. And the characters in the Ramayana did their prescribed duties to out of a sense of obligation and compassion for keeping the whole scene together, so that when Lord Ram would come back, the kingdom would be there, but very happily turned over the shoes to Ram when he came, turned over the kingdom, and continued to serve Ram. And another thing that happened was, when Lord Ram finally did return, the first person that he went to get blessings was Kalkini. The first person. And when he came in for his original reception on his flower airplane, etc., And all the citizens were there, and Bart was there. Bart was there. And then when Lord Ram went to Kaikei, Bart didn't come along. And so when he was at, when Ram was at Kaikei's palace, he looked around, where's Bart? And he made a side exit, bring him here. And the first thing that Lord Ram told Bart in that situation was, bow down to your mother. Just strong emotional waves. Ultimately, to focus our mind and heart and senses on the service of the Lord. Because how could that, if the service of the Lord wasn't supremely prominent in our mind and consciousness, how could anyone undergo those trials and tribulations? So that's just a little bit on the end. It's a very long story. And Hare Krishna. Hopefully during the day, there'll be a lot more clips on the Ramayana series videos or remembrances and prayers to Lord Ram. Any additional comments? Dhammaraj Prabhu?
Just a couple of things. I read once in a paper, I think the introduction of the book by Vivekananda Maharaj, where he says that the Valmiki Ramayana was originally written in a billion verses.
Say it again, a little bit louder.
That the original Valmiki Ramayana was written in 1 billion verses.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure if there's a contradiction, you said 25,000.
Probably it's not a contradiction, but it's probably that they are, just like Srimad Bhagavatam, we're also familiar that there's more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam still manifest in higher planetary systems where people have higher capacity. So anyway, at least we could say the version that's available now, somebody counted it to be 25,000.
Okay. I wonder if Srimad Bhagavatam Vibhishan, he also made the sacrifices to do his part. So he was so attached to the name Ram that he couldn't have helped but written it all over his palace and the floor and the walls. And lo and behold, his brother came at the same time to visit him, Ravana came. So when Ravana came and he saw that he wrote Ram all over, R-A-M-A, he was furious, he wanted to kill Vibhishan. So then Vibhishan said, no, my lord, that you actually misunderstood. That this is actually your name, Rama, Ravan and Mandodari. When he said, oh, me and my eternal consort, he said, now, oh brother, I love you so much, I'll deal dearer than myself, and just a minute you want to kill me. So he said, please, tomorrow I order you to spread this Rama all over the city.
Okay.
So that way, Vibhishan is able to spread the holy name of
Rama. Ja. Hare Krishna. Thank you very kindly. Praise to Sri Ram. Jai Sri Ram. Jai Sita Ram. Lakshman Hanuman. Kinja. Shri Prabhupada. Kinja.